The good news of God's love according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And the reason why I want to have a Bible study that compares the accounts of the resurrection in our four Gospels is because while they all agree on the important facts of the story, they emphasize different details of it, presumably because each Gospel and each resurrection story was written for a specific faith community that had specific concerns and needs. Matthew's gospel is the only one that mentions armed guards stationed at the tomb to ensure that no one could steal Jesus's body. It's the only gospel that mentions an early morning earthquake and people who witnessed the descent of an angel from heaven. Other gospels say that the women went to the tomb in the hope of anointing the body of Jesus. Matthew's gospel says only that they went to see the tomb. They had watched as Joseph of Arimathea had placed Jesus's body in the tomb and rolled a large stone in front of its entrance, and yet they went back to see the tomb again. Did they go expecting that resurrection had happened, or did they go back to try and face the reality of death? Based on what this gospel says, we don't know. But according to this gospel, the women watch as an angel rolls away the stone from in front of the tomb in order to show the world that it is now an empty grave. Matthew is clear that the angel didn't have to roll away the stone to let Jesus out. Jesus is already long gone by the time the tomb is opened. Jesus, who was crucified, is not going to be found in any tombs. He will be found in the very midst of human life. The women who had stood at the foot of the cross for the entire horrifying death, and who had watched his body be sealed in a grave, according to Matthew's gospel, they are the only ones who get to see and talk with the resurrected Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. The disciples who had abandoned Jesus in the middle of the night, they won't get to see him unless they go back to Galilee. They have to go back to the beginning and make a fresh start. And did you notice that both the angel and Jesus have to say to the women, "Do not be afraid"? The only thing more frightening than death might just be a resurrection that has the power to change reality. And that is the real message of Easter. It isn't that, hey, we get to enjoy a big slice of soft and creamy pie in the sky after we die. The resurrection of Jesus transforms the world in which we live right now. That's what happened to the disciple Peter. Everything he thought he knew about God and human beings, about sin and forgiveness, about life and death, and especially about Jews and Romans, everything had to change once Jesus was raised from the dead. Because resurrection is the proof that God shows no partiality. God does not prefer one nation over another. God does not prefer one ethnicity over another. God does not prefer one gender over another. God does not prefer one race over another. God does not prefer one sexual orientation over another. I'm sorry, but God does not prefer one sports team over another, nor one political party over another. God shows no partiality. Even though God had entered into a uniquely intimate relationship with the ancient Jewish people, that was so that God could bring blessing to all the peoples of the earth. It was so that God could become a human being born into a culture that already had a long history of engagement with God. Jesus came to the people of Israel in order to demonstrate that he is Lord of all. All human beings are held in bondage to sin and fear and death. The resurrection proves God's commitment to saving all of humanity and not just a select few. Because the truth is that all human beings have always been acceptable to God. God created us out of love and for the purpose of love. God became a human being in order to save us from the power of our sin. And it is how much we trust in God's self-sacrificing love that will demonstrate how well we know that our sins have been forgiven and that we are acceptable to God. God prefers to enter into relationship with us on the basis of that trust, rather than by imposing fear or demanding submission to divine power. And that's why Jesus very intentionally did not appear to all of the people who were responsible for his death. Can you imagine if he did? He appeared to a few chosen witnesses who were then invited to spread the message of God's unconditional love to the rest of the world. God builds relationships one changed life at a time. And the really surprising part of the good news of Easter is that God does it by drowning us. Our baptism is a moment of death and resurrection, which is why, according to Colossians, we have already been raised with Christ. It is not something for which we have to wait. And since we have already experienced our resurrection, we are called to live as resurrected people. As we go about our daily lives, we are invited to live as if we are already walking on streets of gold. Our lives are hidden safely within the very heart of God. In the grandest scheme of things, nothing can touch us.
Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can stop us from achieving God's purposes in our world.
Now, Colossians says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, but because Christ is also inside us, Christ is still very much on the earth, engaging with human lives. Setting our minds on things that are above isn't about ignoring the things that are happening around us. Seeking the things of God is what helps us as we encounter human beings, human conditions, and human problems.
And because we have already died and been resurrected with Jesus,
we can say the words of Psalm 118 in a way its author never could have imagined. I shall not die, but live. My own resurrection is proof that in good times and in bad times, the Lord is good. In times of triumph and in times of tragedy, God's mercy endures forever.